Now, the one who protects us all from prattling prognosticators and perfidious pundits.
I say, America, stay out the bushes.
Look for the Union Naval.
And to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government.
From my cold, dead hands.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
It's time for the Alan Nathan Show. Here he is, the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist host in the country, Alan Nathan.
Welcome aboard, everybody. Welcome aboard. I'm ever yours, Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Once again, this is the Oasis. For those who have an aversion to the left, right, black, white, two-dimensional approach, delighted you could be with us. I got to tell you, there's so much going on and so little time in which to delve, but we're going to give it a shot. If, again, this is your virgin voyage, allow me to share with you our mantra. Folks, we want the Republicans out of our bedroom, the Democrats out of our wallets, and both out of our First and Second Amendment rights. We feel there exists this cavernous gap separating the two orthodoxies, and that it's a gap comprised of many degreed-thinking people who can argue quite passionately in shades of gray. And to that end, each and every show we have fine guests to help best illustrate this point. Today is no exception. Also, if you wish to hook up with us on the web, it's www.alannathan.com. Don't forget that email address, alan@alannathan.com. That's A-L-A-N. Coming at you live and strong each and every Monday through Friday. This time, don't forget the classic Alan Nathan Show, Saturdays, 6 to 7 p.m. And overnight Sunday mornings, 3 to 4, all times Eastern. We are indeed a Main Street Radio Network production. Please check us out at mainstreetradionetwork.com. Feel free to avail yourselves of our nascent but always robust Twitter and Facebook options that we have there for you. And of course, with great dispatch and alacrity, we love to thank our distributor, the Salem Radio Network. That's right, the Alan Nathan Show is entering its 28th year of national syndication, all thanks to you, reaching about 800 towns and cities across a couple of hundred radio station broadcasts each week. Again, all thanks to you. And by the way, I don't care if you're part of the authoritarian left or perpetually clueless right. Please get out of the thought control business. And a quick shout-out thanks to not only my stations who have been taking us well over 2.5 decades, but also these wonderful podcast networks that have also embraced us. We have Listen Notes, of course, Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music UK, India, Italy, it goes on and on. Loving Spotify especially. Also CRN Talk, radio network unto themselves. You can go to them at crntalk.com. They take us on their channel 4. They also carry us via Roku. So thanks to everybody who's been a part of it. But most assuredly, without the audience, without you guys, none of this would have been plausible. Our topics du jour, you may have heard, well, the Democrats' clumsiest lies about Trump's one big beautiful bill have become so cartoonish that exposing them is now easier than ever. I mean, how badly humiliated will they be in a few months? Because everything that they've been saying is so antithetical to reality that just as they were exposed lying about Biden's mental acuity for years, so they will be exposed for similar bad conduct regarding the one big beautiful bill. Also, DNC Chair Ken Martin apparently publicly embraces New York City Democrat mayoral candidate Zohran Mamdani's anti-Semitism. Now, how the hell will that play out in the 2026 midterms? Assisting in the opining and analyzing, old friend of the show, Jeffrey Lord, contributing editor to the American Spectator, fine publication. I've had a couple of my columns published there as well. He's also a contributor to Newsbusters and Conservative Review, also a former CNN political commentator. Additionally, he was associate political director for President Ronald Reagan and worked for Housing Secretary Jack Kemp under President George H.W. Bush. His most recent book is the highly praised work entitled Swamp Wars, Donald Trump and the New American Populism versus the Old Order. Jeffrey, great to have you back. How are you today?
I am doing great here as we've definitely reached summertime, I think.
Haven't we, though? We're all giddy with silliness, and I say that in a charitable way, trying to include myself with people who really need to be set apart. I mean, the left are going nuts as it relates to what's going on with Trump's one big beautiful bill. I'm looking at this thinking to myself, wow, they are really on the wrong side of this. MSNBC, CNN, ABC, The Washington Post, and the rest of legacy media, they're all claiming that there won't be any real economic growth from Trump's one big beautiful bill, that in fact benefits for the poor shall be slashed. versus only for those who are ineligible. And, of course, their all-time favorite, nobody gets a tax break but the rich. This is really, I mean, the tax cuts are just a continuation of what Trump did in 2017. And, you know, the Democrats were saying then what they're saying now, that, oh, it was just a tax cut for the rich. But that was a provable lie. I mean, even the New York Times reported on this, quoting the Liberal Tax Policy Center, that acknowledged that well over 80% of the country have received tax cuts from the previous tax cuts. And the OBBB merely continues that wonderful trend. So how can they continue to assert that which has already been proven to be a lie and was reported as such by not just a number of outlets, but the New York Times itself? Jeffrey.
This is what they do. They have been doing this forever. They just simply, either one, can't get it into their head that lower taxes means a better economy for everybody, or two, they really do understand it, and they just want to stand up and fight it anyway. This is what they did back when I was a youngster working on Capitol Hill in the Reagan era. And they were making the same arguments. Nothing has changed here, not a single thing.
Well, if I might interpose for a second, you are rightly pointing out how tax cuts lead to economic growth. And I do want to delve into that. But very specifically, they were insisting that Trump's earlier tax cuts, much like the ones that exist now and are simply really just a better continuation of what already transpired. But the left were saying that the majority of people did not get a tax cut. And I'm looking at the headline here from the New York Times. Face it, you probably got a tax cut. Studies consistently find that the 2017 law cuts taxes for most Americans. Here's an excerpt. And this was not an opinion piece. This was an actual report by New York Times reporters, okay? This is what they write. Quote, to a large degree, the gap between perception and reality on the tax cuts appears to flow from a sustained and misleading effort by liberal opponents of the law to brand it as a broad middle class tax increase. This is the New York Times reporting on how they've already been caught red-handed lying before. How is it they get to say the same lie over a tax cut that's only gotten better and will reach that many more people? It is defying all logic. I submit to you, sir, that so badly have the Democrats damaged their collective perceived integrity because of their overt lying about Joe Biden's mental acuity, that this go-around, their efforts will be accordingly undermined by that past. Or am I seeing too much into this? Jeffrey.
No, you're not. The problem is that they have gone out of their own way to damage their own credibility. I mean, and you mentioned the whole Biden episode, which has on the surface nothing whatsoever to do with tax cuts. But in point of fact, when they're trying to, you know, look us right in the eye and tell us that there's no problem with Joe Biden and he's perfectly fine, and we all know it's just simply not true based on what we can see for ourselves when he's on television.
Then what credibility do they have when they try to tell us that Trump's bill happens to be all the bad things they're insisting, when they're simply at the same time unable to tether those assertions to the required validating grounds? I mean, it's just astonishing what they're doing. They'll look at you in the face and say, we're going to be hurting a lot of poor people with these Medicaid cuts, when in fact, a lot of the folks who've been removed, or actually all the people who've been removed, are those who shouldn't have been on there to begin with, like illegal immigrants. And you will have congressional leaders lie to our face and assert that, Medicaid benefits never were going to illegal immigrants. And that's just strictly not the case.
All kinds of things have been going to people. I mean, this is why I think this is one of the reasons, frankly, why Donald Trump is president in the first place, because the American people could see for themselves what was happening, that you had all these people crossing the border illegally and then demanding A, B, and C in the way of benefits once they got here. And whether it's taxes, whether it's Medicaid, you know, on and on and on it goes. They've had enough of it, and they're just not putting up with it anymore. So they voted for Trump.
And as badly biased as the CBO is, even it acknowledged that many of the folks who were on Medicaid happened to be illegal immigrants who are not really entitled to those benefits. And yet you had Congressman Torres out of New York saying publicly on CNN that it's a lie to assert that illegal immigrants were ever a part of Medicaid. You had Scott Jennings, a political analyst on there, saying, Congressman, you're lying. You are actually lying. In real time, he said, you're lying. You're provably lying. All one has to do is look at the CBO report, and they'll see that you just lied to the American people. Now, how many times do they get to cry wolf before the townsfolk say, screw you, I'm staying home? Stick with us. Going to be right back.
It's no surprise that people love their pets. In fact, 97% of pet owners consider them part of the family. Amazon's Jen Ray has more.
Amazon Pet Day makes caring for your pets easier than ever. The 48-hour sales event features thousands of deals with the convenience of Amazon's fast delivery. Whether you're welcoming a new puppy, upgrading essentials for a senior pet, or looking for products that pamper, there's something for everyone.
Nearly two-thirds of U.S. households have a pet. That's 86.9 million homes.
With so many households having pets, Amazon has something for every pet owner and their furry friends, from trusted basics to exciting new favorites across price points. Plus, Amazon is expanding its pet care offerings, now providing prescription pet medications on Amazon.com through VetSource, a leading pet pharmacy.
On May 13th and 14th, Amazon Pet Day will offer incredible deals, including on our most popular and pet-approved brands, like Purina Pro Plan, Iams, PetSafe, O Norman, Ring, and more. Learn more at Amazon.com/Pet Day. As the school year winds down, many high school students are thinking ahead to what comes next. For some, that means staying academically engaged over the summer and preparing for the transition to college. Shauna Thayer, CEO of the online education platform Sophia Learning, has more.
Sophia Learning offers college-level courses that students can take at their own pace and are designed to transfer for credit. This summer, we're giving eligible rising high school juniors and seniors free access to 6 college-level courses. It's a great way for students to get a head start, see what college classes are really like, or try something new without the pressure.
A new survey finds that 72% of high school juniors and seniors who plan to attend college in the next 2 years feel they need to go to college to be successful, but 51% want more time to decide on a major.
Preparing for college is exciting, but can come with uncertainty. This program gives students a chance to learn at their own pace, gain confidence, and make informed choices about their future.
Learn more at sophia.org. That's Sophia with a PH.org.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
hey, you got this. Just breathe. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs. at pva.org.
While voting early in Astoria, Queens, Assemblyman and candidate for Mayor Zohran Mamdani doubled down on his explanation of the term globalize the Intifada. It's a term many Jewish people and even the U.S. Holocaust Museum say is a rallying cry to kill Jews. Mamdani says he's heard those concerns and does not tolerate anti-Semitism, but he maintains that the phrase means a struggle for basic human rights for Palestinians and many Muslims.
And I've been clear time and time again that there is no room for violence in our city, no room for violence in our country. My point is not that this is language that I use. It is a larger point about these words have different meaning for many different people.
No, if words have meaning, then what you say must have something to do with what they mean. This is what this guy has to understand. Words have meaning. And if you're going to use these words, what you say must have something to do with what they mean. And he's referencing the term globalize the Intifada. Now, that was an exchange on WPIX's PIX 11 News in New York City. And you had reporter Henry Rossoff narrating how Democrat New York City mayoral candidate Mamdani has heard concerns that globalize the Intifada is a call to kill Jews. Well, the reason why it's a concern is because that's exactly what it's all about. It is to kill the Jews. You know, when you hear that other phrase, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. The river is talking about the Mediterranean, you know, the Jordan River, and the sea is the Mediterranean Sea. Everything between that is Israel. So if you're going to say that land now belongs to the Palestinians, you're essentially saying that there is no two-state solution. There's only one state solution. That is the removal of Israel to be replaced by the Palestinians in what they want to be their homeland. Palestinians, of course, really just being former Jordanians wishing to change their name so as to elevate the sense of the strength of their argument. They don't want a two-state solution. To them, any Palestinian state is contingent upon the removal of Israel. Well, you know what? When you have two different people bargaining for a resolution of peace, the one side that's expected to cease existing might take umbrage with the terms, okay? But anyway, getting back to this Mamdani, he insists that he should not be censoring or nobody wants anybody to censor anything. But you're not censoring people from saying it just by yourself insisting that it's a term that should be condemned. You can condemn a term without calling for its censorship. But he's hiding behind a concern for the latter as an excuse to get away with the former, and I don't think people are buying it. Before I get to my illustrious guest on this issue, I want you to hear PBS NewsHour with Anna Nuarez talking about this with DNC Chair Ken Martin about Jews being concerned with the globalized, the Intifada term. Clip one, James, if you please.
What about concerns from some of your Jewish colleagues in particular about him not outright condemning the phrase globalize the Intifada in a recent interview? Some of your Jewish colleagues have said that that could be very disturbing, potentially dangerous. Do you agree with that?
You know, there's no candidate in this party that I agree 100% of the time with, to be honest with you. There's things that I don't agree with Mamdani that he said. But at the end of the day, I always believe, as a Democratic Party chair in Minnesota for the last 14 years and now the chair of the DNC, that you win through addition. You win by bringing people into your coalition. We have conservative Democrats. We have centrist Democrats. We have labor progressives like me. And we have this new brand of Democrat, which is the leftist. And we win by bringing people into that coalition. And at the end of the day, for me, that's the type of party we're going to lead. We are a big tent party. Yes, it leads to dissent and debate, and there's differences of opinions on a whole host of issues. But we should celebrate that as a party and recognize at the end of the day, we're better because of it.
So bigotry and calls for violence against a particular demographic is nothing more than another position statement, another one of many divergent views. Ken Martin, you sound like an ass. Anyway, we have assisting in the opining and analyzing. Old friend of the show sticking around, and we appreciate that. Jeffrey Lord, contributing editor to the American Spectator, as well as Newsbusters and Conservative Review, former CNN political commentator. Jeffrey, it strikes me that if the Democrats are going to excuse bigotry in the name of growing the party tent, then they're under a tent that will soon fold on them. Where am I mistaken?
You're not mistaken. And one thing that I think we should be aware of, all the way back when Barack Obama was being nominated, there was an uproar of sorts at the Democratic National Convention, precisely because there was a move to take away recognition from Israel, or there was some, I forget it exactly, but it was pegged at the time as being flatly anti-Semitic. So this kind of sentiment, as it were, has been going on for a long time. And I have a column at the American Spectator this morning that goes through a new book by Senator Chuck Schumer from New York, who's the Senate Democratic leader. And what is it about? It is about anti-Semitism. And there he is, Schumer, who is himself Jewish, writes an entire book, and basically he's got a whole chapter in there on the rise of anti-Semitism inside the American left and the Democratic Party and all of this kind of thing. They've got a real problem on their hands here, and this is not going away anytime soon.
No, it's not. And the irony is they try to excuse themselves from being anti-Semitic, saying, oh, I'm not anti-Semitic, I'm merely anti-Zionism. I'm sorry, but if you are the latter, you are most assuredly the former. And the reason is Zionism is nothing more than the belief that Jews have a right to a religious identity state. That's all Zionism is, that Jews have the right to a religious identity state. And your anti-Semitism is shown when you have intolerance for that, but you're perfectly tolerant of 57 Muslim majority countries enjoying a religious identity state. By virtue of being tolerant of Muslim majority countries having a religious identity state, while being intolerant of Jews having a religious identity state, you are most assuredly exposing your anti-Semitism, because what you're doing is you're taking double standard thinking to a new masturbated height. Isn't that fair to say?
That is absolutely fair to say. Just, you know, while we're talking about, let me just read two sentences from Schumer. Quote, "For the first time in my life, widespread anti-Semitism is a serious problem in America, and it's getting worse," unquote. And then this, another sentence from his book, he says, "Anti-Semitism means hating Jewish people and all things Jewish." Well, you can't be much plainer than that. And that is coming from the Senate Democratic leader. And he's got a problem. And, you know, one of the problems he's going to have is, I am convinced he is going to be challenged for renomination by AOC there, Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And one of the things that's going to, I think, emerge is that he is going to be attacked because he's Jewish and a supporter of Israel.
And he's sort of a weak supporter when push comes to shove. He wasn't a big cheerleader for what Israel and Trump did vis-a-vis degrading Iran's nuclear capabilities or nuclear weapon capability. You know, he's still trying to straddle that fence. And if he doesn't cease doing so, he's going to have a permanent ache between his legs. This guy, he's got to start executing some capacity for self-appraisal before he's just not taken seriously by anybody ever again. Jeffrey Lord, always great to have you on board. Thanks again, folks. You're listening to The Alan Nathan Show right here on the Main Street Radio Network. Stick with us.
Summer can be a nonstop sprint for busy families. Between camps, road trips, and backyard barbecues, meals and snacks need to be quick, convenient, and kid-friendly. Lifestyle expert Yvette Rios has tips from the dairy aisle.
June is National Dairy Month, and dairy is a summertime lifesaver. So whether it's string cheese in a cooler, yogurt cups on the go, or even cottage cheese, these grab-and-go staples fuel kids without slowing parents down. Refrigerated doughs are another smart pick.
According to new research from the National Frozen and Refrigerated Foods Association, 77% of parents turn to dairy for convenient, kid-friendly summer solutions.
There are so many simple ways to build out a meal with dairy. Pasta salads with shredded cheese, veggie trays with ranch or sour cream dips, cottage cheese bowls topped with fruit and eggs, eggs for easy breakfast or protein-packed snacks.
To get more meal ideas and snack inspiration, visit EasyHomeMeals.com. That's EasyHomeMeals.com.
It's a well-known fact that guys often skip the doctor when they're sick and delay important health screenings. During Men's Health Month in June, encourage the men in your life to break that bad habit and take charge of their health. Vince Dorsey, a pharmacist and director of medical communications at Esperion Therapeutics, says a great way to start is with a cholesterol test.
The best defense is a good offense. High cholesterol has no symptoms. That's why it's called the silent killer. Don't put it off. Get your cholesterol tested and know your family's health history. You may not realize it, but high cholesterol can be an inherited genetic condition, putting otherwise healthy people, even in their 20s, at risk for heart disease. If you have high LDL or bad cholesterol, it is best to address this as soon as possible. There are ways to lower these levels, reducing your risk of heart attack or stroke.
If you or someone you love has high LDL cholesterol, your doctor may recommend lifestyle changes and medication to keep it in check. Visit heart.org to learn more.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils, like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon? Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Every year is Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Once again, this is The Oasis. For those who have an aversion to the left, right, black, white, two-dimensional approach, absolutely delighted you could be with us, covering so much of what's going on, taking a look at the big, beautiful bill that Democrats are trying to demonize as being antithetical to what it truly has proven to be, is just a very, very bizarre development. It's a very, very bizarre development, and I think we need to delve into it even more, because their clumsiest lies about Trump's One Big Beautiful Bill really have become so cartoonish that exposing them is now easier than ever. And it screams the question, how badly humiliated will they be in a few months over this? We have assisting in the opining and analyzing, all front of the show, Tom Schatz, president of Citizens Against Government Waste. His editorials on fiscal policies have appeared in publications nationwide. We're talking the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal. He's also testified on plenty of occasions concerning government waste issues before congressional committees as well as regulatory bodies. Tom, great to have you back. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Alan.
Looking at what we have in front of us, my head just continues to scratch, and I shower daily. Okay, I don't get what they're doing. They're saying that there really won't be any economic growth from Trump's One Big Beautiful Bill. That it's something that only will slash benefits for the poor, as opposed to only for those who are ineligible. And of course, their all-time favorite. Well, nobody gets a tax break, but the rich. But when we look at Trump's earlier tax cuts, they were saying the same thing, even though they were provably wrong. Even the Liberal Tax Policy Center has acknowledged that over 80% of the country did indeed receive tax cuts from Trump's 2017 bill. Matter of fact, the New York Times has this headline I love to keep referencing. Face it, you probably got a tax cut. Studies consistently find that the 2017 law cut taxes for most Americans. Here's an excerpt. To a large degree, the gap between perception and reality on the tax cuts appears to flow from a sustained and misleading effort by liberal opponents of the law to brand it as a broad middle-class tax increase. Now, they seem to be doing the same thing all over again, despite having been unambiguously exposed as liars the first go-around. Why keep going to a well that has no water in it, Tom?
Well, because they always do this. They don't like anything President Trump does, even when it's successful. So they are once again attempting to claim that something is not what it really is. The benefits have occurred already. They're going to occur again. Estimates of benefits to the middle class or economic growth all proved out to be wrong. And so, look, if the rich get a penny, it's a tax cut for the rich. So
they're still disproportionately paying more taxes than everybody else. I mean, look, White House Senior Counsel for Trade and Manufacturing, Peter Navarro, we've had him on our show a bunch of times. I got to get him back. He had the perfect summary on this, I believe. This is what he had written in, I think it was Fox News. He said, quote, "The truth, backed by both historical experience and robust economic analysis, is the exact opposite of what mainstream media is saying." He goes on to say, "President Trump's OBBB will not only boost jobs and take home pay for America's working class families, it will slash deficits by trillions of dollars, even as its targeted expenditures will strengthen our national defense and secure our borders. As a bonus, OBBB will rapidly accelerate the deportation of millions of illegal aliens now stealing jobs from American citizens and driving down wages." He goes on to say this, "At the center of the fake news misinformation storm is the Congressional Budget Office. For years, the CBO has been trapped in a stale left-wing Keynesian mindset and stubbornly committed to static scoring models that fail to grasp how real-world economies respond to bold, pro-growth policies. As someone who has witnessed President Trump craft his economic agenda from inside the West Wing, I can tell you firsthand, when you cut taxes, slash job-killing regulations, achieve energy dominance, defend America's manufacturing base with tariffs, and fight for fair trade, the economy doesn't just inch forward, it takes off." Now, end of excerpt. I think he's unambiguously correct on the CBO's now proven flawed models when predicting economic outcomes. I mean, where am I mistaken? I mean, when grading Trump's 2017 tax cuts, the CBO had a forecast growth of 1.8%, but guess what? It turned out to be a rocking 2.9%. I mean, they weren't just off the mark. They missed it by miles. Tom.
Yes, they always do. And it's a massive flaw because even when they use what's called dynamic scoring, which, as you said, takes into account people's behavior rather than just what the numbers predict, then they just haven't gotten it right for a long time. And unfortunately, that's what Congress needs to use in passing its legislation, and that's the basis for all the complaints by the Democrats about how this is going to be a disaster. But that's not what is going to happen, and that is not what happened. In fact, this time it's probably going to be even greater because they're cutting more regulations, they're reducing the size, scope, power of the federal government, and that unleashes growth in the private sector like it even better than it was in the first term.
And plus that, not only that, according to the Treasury, Trump's tariffs have already generated a windfall of about $300 billion. I mean, that's not enough to ameliorate all of our concerns vis-a-vis yearly deficit and national debt, but it can sure as hell shore up one particular program or another that is otherwise proven problematic with funding. I mean, it would help, let's say, Social Security or Medicare if completely dropped in their baskets, would it not? And now, of course, the CBO has reported the same nonsense of repeating little growth despite having already been proven wrong in the first go-around, as we talked about. Truthfully, I think it's even more of a jaw-dropping act of myopia because this time, Tom Schatz, as you know, the tax breaks have no sunset, all right? That's been the case in virtually all tax cuts from administrations past. Not this time. These tax cuts are permanent. They don't fall off in 10 years. So won't that difference allow for that much more certainty when it comes to the perspectives of investors? Your sense of it, Tom?
Well, absolutely. If people have more money in their pockets, they're going to go spend it somewhere, and they're not going to be giving it to the government. And how could that be less productive and worse for the economy, right?
Yeah, the
argument has been, let's raise taxes, let's make the government bigger and, you know, more powerful. And what have we gotten? $36 trillion national debt, $2 trillion deficits, less money for people to use. Look, just Uber drivers alone are going to have so much more money. What are they going to do? They're going to, you know, buy more things, get better cars, you know, go on trips. They're going to be spending money, which brings in more revenue. And it's really difficult for the CBO and members of Congress to understand how the real world works when people have more assets and more money to spend.
Also, because these puppies are permanent and does allow investors to have that much more certainty versus the limited enthusiasm associated with cuts that have lasted only a decade in tax cuts past, because of that, it would seem that the CBO has no excuse to not grasp that investors are freer with their cash when they know that their dollars are better protected. I mean, how do they miss that basic human behavior? I mean, the CBO isn't just misreading tea leaves. They're misreading huge street signs falling on their head that are then subsequently shoved in their face. Or am I being too strident, Tom?
No, it's very difficult for them to change their process and change their calculations, unfortunately. And they've tried in Congress to get CBO to change. But at least this time, they kind of ignored the doom and gloom and said, we're going to vote for this anyway and let them, you know, on the other side start complaining. And then we'll see the results. And by the way, the results will be apparent well before the midterms, because Democrats keep saying, oh, the midterms, you know, we're going to win.
That was my next question. Do you think the efficacy, because I had Grover Norquist on about this, he affirmed mm-hmm. The same. I've had others, economists on, they've also confirmed that. So you two would weigh in on that point of view, that in fact the efficacy from the OBBB will be realized soon enough to have an impact on the midterms. Because right now, the popularity is lagging, but that's only because the Democrats have front-loaded so much negativity. And also, I should point out, and correct me where I'm wrong, a lot of these cuts that are going to happen aren't going to happen until very close to the midterms, whereas the tax relief is happening right away, yes?
Yes, and by the way, don't call them cuts. There's just reductions in the increase. Medicaid spending will go up, but people who are not supposed to get the benefits won't be getting them, and everybody else will be getting a little more as intended originally. So it'll be good, not bad.
Yeah, you're talking about what's known as relative to baseline projections, wherein a decision to now increase spending to less of a degree is called a cut versus just a smaller increase. Yeah, I love that crap. More on this upon a return. Folks, you're listening to The Alan Nathan Show right here on the Main Street Radio Network.
Planning a summer road trip? You're not alone. Over 75% of Americans are hitting the road this season. But before you pack the snacks and playlists, make sure your car and your car insurance are road trip ready. Start with a full vehicle checkup. Brakes, oil, tires, wipers. Pack an emergency kit. Learn how to change a tire and bring a backup map because GPS is not always reliable out there. Understanding your coverage is important as well. Although many people think they understand their insurance, a recent survey found 96% of drivers misunderstood at least one part of their policy. And that's where the General can help. With our app, you can review your policy, file a claim fast, or get a quote in 2 minutes or less. At The General, our mission is to give people a break when they need it most. And that's why we've made managing your car insurance easier, faster, and smoother, so you can stay focused on the road ahead. Planning a trip? Visit thegeneral.com so you can hit the road with confidence.
With the cost of living rising dramatically, budgets are tight and customers are looking for ways to stretch their dollars. T-Mobile has launched two new experience plans, adding industry-leading value and savings, plus a 5-year price guarantee, so customers can rest assured that the price of their talk, text, and data stays the same. The Experience Beyond plan includes over $200 in added value for every line every month, with satellite connectivity, yearly device upgrades, and an entertainment streaming bundle that includes Apple TV+, Hulu, Netflix, and more. For more information, visit t-mobile.com. Sponsored by T-Mobile.
National Iced Tea Day is just around the corner, and it's the perfect time to celebrate everyone's favorite summertime beverage. As a tea sommelier, I'm always looking for tea products with high-quality ingredients that are sourced responsibly. When it comes to a bottled tea, my go-to is Tea Java. It's brewed in small batches using quality tea leaves from Java, Indonesia. No sugar, no calories, and no added preservatives. Just a refreshing, authentic tea like I brewed it myself. Tea Java is a must-have this summer. You can learn more at teajava.com.
Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm gonna keep ticking. But no, my friend, I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times, when we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while? Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave, but unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart and don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. For help keeping yours at a healthy range, text PRESSURE to 97779. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
You know that feeling? Like every door is closing and you just can't see a way out? Being unemployed, underemployed, or just out of school feels a lot like that. But when you find the right tools, suddenly, everything just clicks. Getting on that path may be easier than you think. A good place to start? Go to findsomethingnew.org. At findsomethingnew.org, you have access to resources that help develop new skills. Skills that will position you for careers in today's growing industries. From healthcare and manufacturing to cybersecurity and alternative energy. Plus, you can take advantage of online courses, certification programs, apprenticeships, and more. So you can take yourself from unemployed and uncertain to empowered and prepared for what's next. Find your path to a new career today. Visit findsomethingnew.org. A message from the Ad Council.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment. This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all got to help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're going to be saving our lives.
To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Every year is Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Once again, this is The Oasis for those who have an aversion to the left, right, black, white, two-dimensional approach. Absolutely delighted you could be with us. Covering a number of things right now, as you may have heard, the Democrats' clumsiest lies about Trump's one big beautiful bill have become so cartoonish that exposing them now has really become easier than ever. So how badly humiliated will they become in a few months? Because the stuff they're asserting is just too straightforward. I mean, they might as well, again, be trying to convince us all that Biden was as cerebrally dexterous as any great mind you could possibly imagine, okay? They were caught red-handed, lying about his mental acuity. We know that he was in cognitive decline. We also know that they proactively tried to convince us otherwise. And then anytime anybody brought up the possibility that he was, a few forks shy of a complete dinner set, they were demonized and subjected to all sorts of graphic language, when in fact we now know that not only did the administration at the time lie about Biden's mental acuity, but so did the Democratic Party as a whole, because plenty of folks knew that he was on the decline. They kept their mouths shut. But what I found most disturbing is that so many in the Fourth Estate, so many in the mainstream media carried the water for those who were deceiving us. And yet now we're supposed to just believe them on everything they have to say about the one big beautiful bill, including immigration, you know, how it's really harming folks. Some have managed to evolve a little bit on this issue. Some in the Democrat side, even of all folks, Biden administration climate czar John Kerry acknowledges that Biden blew it when it came to illegal immigration. He was recently on as a guest with BBC. He was being interviewed by special correspondent James Nautier. And I want you to hear this back and forth before I go to my illustrious guest. A clip for James, if you please.
We have a system, and the president, I wish President Biden had been heard more often saying, I'm going to enforce the law.
If Donald Trump were out on the veranda there, looking out over the sea, and he turned around and came in this room and said, there you are, I was right all along. That's what he would say.
Well, he was right. The problem is we all should have been right.
We all should have been right. He acknowledges it. But yet, at the time that Trump wanted to bring about greater border security, and therefore by default elevate the security of this country, he was demonized by so many on the left, including John Kerry himself, who was also former Secretary of State. Anyway, without further ado, we have assisting in the opining and analyzing, sticking around, and we always appreciate that, Tom Schatz, President of Citizens Against Government Waste. Boy, what a difference a few years make. Can you believe that? John Kerry acknowledging that Donald Trump was right all along when it came to border security. Tom Schatz. Oh, we lost Tom Schatz. Well, sorry about that. We'll try to get him back. We're trying to get Tom Schatz back here in just a bit. But in the meantime, we're also... Oh, Tom, are you there, my friend?
I am, yes. Sorry.
Did you hear what John Kerry had to say while on BBC?
Yes.
Isn't it amazing what a difference a few years makes? The idea that this guy would actually have the unmitigated gall, audacity, and lack of fortitude, at least from the perspective of most Democrats, to actually heap upon Trump some positive verbiage. Your take?
Well, they're just not late. They're really never when it comes to these kinds of things. That's just another example of reality. What has changed is basically zero in terms of people crossing the border, and things are better, calmed down. There are no complaints from the border communities, and he did exactly what he said he was going to do. President Biden didn't even abide by the laws that existed, and that's what Republicans were just asking him to do. It is illegal to cross the border, period. And those laws have been in place forever. He just said, okay, we're open now, come on in, and look what happened.
It's just astonishing that people take this long to acknowledge that which should be so much more self-evident. And yet, you still have Democrats trying to recast this whole issue. Recently, Catherine Rempel had a piece in the Washington Post talking about border security, and this is how she parenthetically referred to it. To be clear, this is not merely about border security, talking about Trump's entire immigration plan, which has significant bipartisan appeal. I want you to hear the part. To be clear, this is not merely about border security, which has significant bipartisan appeal. Democrats tried to beef it up last year, though Trump ordered Republican lawmakers not to cooperate. Now, see, this is where people like Catherine Rempel lose all credibility, because there had never been, quote-unquote, significant bipartisan appeal on border security from elected officials, right? I mean, Democrats made it clear that said security would have to come at the cost of conceding about 1,000 illegal crossovers per day before there would be a shutting down of those crossovers. 1,000 a day. That's not my making it up. That was just a part of the deal, written in stone. Now, Trump proved the folly of that unnecessary compromise by subsequently reducing illegal crossovers to breathtakingly lower figures than had been the skyrocketing ones under Biden Democrats. I mean, under Biden, between 21 and 20 to 2024, you had thousands a day crossing. Under Trump, from January 25 to present, it's been a trickle. I mean, results at the border, I think, inarguably show the failures of the preceding administration and the triumphs of the current one. But the Democrats will always still try to recast it as something that could have been done a lot sooner had Trump gone along with the previous bill. Again, even though that bill would have first allowed 1,000 crossovers a day before any sealing of the border would have taken place. Am I missing anything by even a diphthong on this, Tom Schatz?
No, of course not. They were legalizing illegal crossings. So it's fairly simple. It's fairly simple for the president and a candidate to say, "Don't agree," because then you're justifying it. And they'd start at 1,000, they'd get up back to 5, 10, 20,000, because nothing in Washington ever stays as it was originally intended. Always gets bigger and more wasteful.
Really, and the idea that we needed new laws to enforce the already existing ones was nonsensical. I mean, I've always thought it was pretty straightforward to say that the passage, that I should say rather, the enforcement of existing law has never been contingent upon the passage of new, has it?
No. But in Washington, you just keep passing more laws when the other ones don't work.
Even though the only reason why perhaps they're not working is because they're not being properly enforced. I mean, right. Replacing ignored verbiage with more verbiage to subsequently be ignored gets us nowhere beyond where we already are. But anyway, as usual, never enough time. Tom Schatz, thanks for being with us today. Folks, you're listening to The Alan Nathan Show right here on the Main Street Radio Network.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.